Hello and welcome. This is Sharon. I'm bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. As always, we'll begin our reading on the front page of the paper. Bloomington, clearing way for downtown future. Front and center going, parking, housing, other projects coming. Demolition of the century-old front and center building at 102 North Center Street in downtown Bloomington began Tuesday and is expected to last until Christmas. In February, the City Council approved an agreement with Catalyst Construction to demolish this building, as well as the adjacent DUI Countermeasures building and the Elks Club building across the street, for additional surface parking at a cost of $3.9 million. After multiple failed efforts to redevelop the front and center building, which was formerly a Montgomery Ward department store and the central hub of downtown Bloomington, staff felt the best use of the space would be for additional parking. Bloomington Mayor Dan Brady said the hope is that the surface parking will spur private developers to invest in other downtown spaces. It's going to help develop downtown, not only more parking availability initially, but especially when we talk about some of the services that are going to be in the former pantograph building, Brady said. Demolition of the Elks Club building, which has sat vacant for 13 years, was finished earlier this year. A portion of the building's facade was maintained to honor its historic significance. Bloomington Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus said completion of the surface parking was delayed due to unexpected cable connections. Work should be finished on this site by the end of the year. Some of these parking spaces will be reserved for staff members of Lifelong Access's new Medical and Social Services Hub, which will be housed in the former Pantograph building on West Washington Street. Brady said some of the roughly 140 new parking spaces will be available to the public, particularly on evenings and weekends. The council also authorized an agreement with Consolidated Properties, LLC, in February to accept the Commerce Bank building at 120 North Center Street as a donation to the city. A portion of the building that included teller windows was torn down, but Brady said the goal is to encourage investors to rehabilitate the interior for additional apartments. The city hopes to accomplish this using tax credits. Another residential project in the works in downtown Bloomington is the $68 million rehabilitation of State Farm's former headquarters at East and Washington Streets. United Equity Properties out of Rockford is planning to convert the 13-story building into a mixed-use space with retail space on the ground floor, 183 apartment units on the upper levels, and an upscale restaurant on the top floor. To help accomplish this, the city is offering a number of incentives, including tax refunds and annual contributions of roughly $128,000 for 20 years. "We're still very encouraged moving forward," Brady said. "It's just a project that each time we think we're there, it takes a little bit longer for some other piece of the pie, which is usually the financing side of it, that they continue to work on." The city also has a redevelopment agreement in place with FMB Holdings to redevelop former CVS building at 210 North Center Street into residential apartments with commercial space on the first floor. Samantha Mlott, economic development advocate for Bloomington, said plans for the site have not been submitted to the city as of Tuesday. City looks to gun violence. Commission suggests more study and programs. After 2 years of meetings and data analysis, the Special Commission for Safe Communities presented 8 recommendations on Monday to help reduce gun violence in the Bloomington area. The commission was established in June 2023 at the behest of Alderwoman Molly Ward to help reduce gun violence. The goals were to collect and evaluate data on gun violence and weapon violations in the Bloomington area, identify patterns and underlying causes of gun violence and weapon charges in the area, and provide specific recommendations about how the city could address these identified issues. The mandate was to do this in 2 years. To dig deep into this, and the commission has fulfilled that in a timely way, Ward said. During Monday's City Council meeting, Commission Chair Scott Denton presented a 29-page report highlighting the group's findings. The first recommendation was to expand community group collaboration by establishing a permanent task force around gun violence prevention, research, and action. The second was to promote gun security by expanding secure storage education, gun lock distribution, gun safe giveaways, and buyback programs. Denton also highlighted the need to support enforcement when firearm owners' identification cards are revoked. There was a large amount of people who had their FOID cards revoked and they never gave up their guns, Denton said. There's no enforcement or any way to do that. It's voluntary. Because most gun violence is committed by youths, a trend seen more in the surrounding communities than in Bloomington itself, the report recommended conducting a comprehensive survey to understand youth experiences with violence and to gain their feedback. The report also recommended funding school programming dedicated to violence prevention and a social-emotional curriculum so that students are taught how to deal with their emotions without picking up a firearm. The high school kids know if another high school kid has a gun or not, Denton said. He credited Project Oz for working with students to determine what kind of problems they face at home. Additional recommendations included supporting suicide prevention, strengthening domestic violence response and prevention programs, and investing in mental health programs. Veterans support was another significant area of focus in the recommendations. The commission highlighted various opportunities, environments, and programs to connect veterans with local VA hospitals and clinics, post-traumatic stress disorder support groups, and the 988 Crisis Lifeline. The report also recommended permanent oversight of the Commission's goals by expanding existing city committees or creating new structures. Ward encouraged city staff and Mayor Dan Brady to schedule the Commission's findings for further discussion during a non-voting session of the City Council. As of September 25th, 15 gunfire incidents have been reported in Bloomington this year, compared to 37 reported in all of 2024. Of the 2025 shootings, 7 people were shot and 4 were killed. Residential and vehicle burglaries remain the most prevalent ways of obtaining an illegally possessed firearm, according to 2023 data from Bloomington Assistant Police Chief Aaron Veerman. In 2024, 18 stolen firearms were found in private residences. 12 were found in apartments and 3 were found in vehicles. So far in 2025, 2 stolen firearms have been found in private residences, 4 were found in apartments, and 4 were found in vehicles. Again, the Special Commission for Safe Communities recommended expand community group collaboration, promote gun security, gather youth perspectives, support suicide prevention, strengthen domestic violence programs, fund school programming, invest in mental health programs, and continue the Special Commission for Safe Communities. Police have safe, fun Halloween. Police in Bloomington Normal advise citizens to stay safe, aware, and alert as they head out to celebrate Halloween this weekend. Trick-or-treaters will be out from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday, October 31st in Bloomington Normal, and during similar evening hours in much of McLean County. Before families head out, law enforcement officials shared a few tips and tricks to ensure a fun and safe Halloween. Trick-or-treating safely. Bloomington and Normal police suggest trick-or-treaters travel in groups or with a trusted adult, noting there is increased safety in numbers. Officials also recommend staying on sidewalks and crossing the street only when necessary. Use designated crosswalks and look both ways when you must cross a roadway. Brad Park, public information officer for Normal Police, also said children and families should stick to well-lit neighborhoods and avoid cutting through alleys, yards, or between parked cars. Do not enter anyone's home or vehicle for candy, no matter how friendly they seem, he wrote in an email. Police also advise parents to check all treats before allowing a child to eat them and discard anything that's unwrapped, homemade, or looks suspicious. And for trick-or-treaters, the police department said to save the candy for when they return home, which means no sneaking pieces between doorbell rings or while walking between houses. When it comes to costume safety, officials say to skip the masks that block vision and try using face paints instead. Also, they said it's important to choose costumes that fit properly to prevent tripping or falling. Police suggest carrying a flashlight to light the way in the hunt for candy. Bloomington police noted that glow sticks can also increase visibility, while the Normal Police Department recommended bright, reflective costumes or adding reflective tape to help drivers see the passing trick-or-treaters. Driver and homeowner awareness. While we all have a responsibility to be safe on Halloween, the biggest reminder we have is for drivers. And that is to please be extra alert on Halloween, said Bryce Jansen, public information officer for Bloomington Police. Law enforcement officials ask drivers to be aware of their surroundings, drive slowly, stay alert in residential areas, and turn on headlights early, even before it's fully dark outside. Trick-or-treaters may be excited, unpredictable, and often hard to see at night, Jansen said. Slow down, stay focused on the roadway and surrounding areas, and help make the night safe for everyone. Normal Police Department agreed, remember, excited children can move unpredictably, so stay focused. Normal police also suggest being extra cautious when entering or exiting driveways. For homeowners, police ask residents to keep walkways and porches well lit for trick-or-treaters, secure pets indoors to prevent them from becoming frightened or escaping, and report any suspicious activity to police immediately. Today's Flick Fact question: Veterans Parkway is the busiest street in Bloomington Normal, but you knew that. However, can you name when the Twin Cities' busiest street is at its busiest time? And the answer, according to traffic studies, as one would expect, from 7 to 9 a.m. and 3 to 5 p.m. on weekdays are the heaviest traffic times. Interestingly, and perhaps not so expected, another heavy traffic time is between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Sunday, a testament either to our church-going, dining out, or need to do weekend shopping. And from the past pages of the pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, on October 29, 1925, marking the 71st anniversary of the founding of the business, J.F. Humphreys Wholesale Grocery Company will, on the week commencing November 7th, hold open house at the modern new plant on South Main Street. The program is now in preparation and will comprise some special features for each day. 75 years ago, on October 29, 1950, Dr. David J. Budrus, 25, of 905 East Jefferson Street, has been called to active duty with the armed services and will report to Fort Sam Houston at San Antonio, Texas, on November 1st. Dr. Budrus, who came to Bloomington on July 1st, and has been associated with Dr. Gerald Klein in pediatrics, is the first Bloomington Normal physician to be called to service. A member of the inactive Naval Reserve, Dr. Budrus held the rank of lieutenant, junior grade. He's been called by the Navy to be transferred to the Army for duty. 50 years ago, on October 29, 1975, a McLean County Board Committee urging exploration of the possibilities for merging the county's tuberculosis care and treatment clinic with the county public health department. The committee was meeting with E.E. Diddams, director of the health department. And 25 years ago today, October 29, 2000, celebrate Diversity Day. Billed as an alternative to white supremacist Matt Hale's visit to Bloomington Normal, by all appearances was the more popular event, drawing over 400 people to the McLean County Museum of History, while Hale spoke to about 125 people at the Bloomington Public Library. The larger event featured music, speeches, and free ethnic food for over 2 hours on Saturday afternoon, October 28th. BBB sessions on cyber scams. The Better Business Bureau has planned 2 interactive presentations in Bloomington tomorrow, Thursday, October 30th, to empower older adults to stay safe from cyber scams. The sessions will take place at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. at Bloomington Public Library, 205 East Olive Street, led by Better Business Bureau Central Illinois President Jessica Tharp. The sessions will cover topics targeting seniors, such as fake celebrity giveaways, scam email, Medicare fraud, and grandparent schemes. Scams in our area have nearly doubled since last year, Tharp said, so we are working to get the word out on what scams are trending. Scammers rely on the shame and stigma of being caught in a scam, so dispelling that stigma is paramount, Tharp said. The best thing is to talk about what scams are going on and how to spot the red flags. The more we talk about it, the more they're going to be familiar with what is trending, Tharp said. Road closures across Normal. Multiple road closures are underway in the town of Normal. Grove Street at Hovey Avenue is closed for water main installation. Access will be maintained for local traffic from the north only. The closure is expected to be completed by 5 p.m. on Friday, November 7th, weather permitting. A road closure on Airport Road was expected to begin the morning of Saturday, October 25th. There will be intermittent lane reductions on Airport between Robb Road and Northtown Road for street resurfacing. The closure is expected to be completed by 7 p.m. on Friday, November 7th, weather permitting. Local access will be maintained with some daytime interruptions. Broadway Avenue was scheduled to close at 7 p.m. on Tuesday between West Phoenix Avenue and West Beaufort Street for repairs on the railroad tracks and crossing. Traffic will be detoured on West Irving Street and South Fell Avenues. The closure is being coordinated with the Union Pacific Railroad and its contractor and is scheduled to be completed today. Drivers are encouraged to be cautious while traveling through any of these areas. You can call 309-454-9572 or 309-454-9744 for more road closure information. Heartland Community College, Campbell Tech Administrator of Year. Adam Campbell, Dean of Career and Technical Education at Heartland Community College, has been named the 2025 Technology Education Association of Illinois Administrator of the Year. Campbell was honored on October 24th at the Illinois Technology Education Conference at Illinois State University. The Technology Education Association of Illinois awards individuals and programs making significant contributions to technology education, including publications, presentations, innovation, and renovations, and demonstrating leadership at the local, state, and national levels. In his role at Heartland, Campbell oversees certificate and degree programs in business, technology, computer networking, computer science, digital media, industrial maintenance, HVAC, renewable energy, advanced manufacturing, electric vehicle and energy storage technology. He's been in the education field for 18 years, first as a CTE instructor in the Illinois Department of Corrections, where he helped design and deliver programming for offenders nearing release to equip them with skills to increase reentry success, according to a news release from Heartland. He has also served as Senior Assistant Director of the Illinois Board of Higher Education's Private Business and Vocational School Division, contributing to regulatory oversight and quality assurance in vocational education. He has worked as part of a statewide group to define high-quality credentials, reinforced and supported industry standards in technical education, and served as one of the state's leaders in investigating human trafficking in post-secondary technical schools, the news release said. Campbell serves as a co-chair for the McLean County Chamber of Commerce's Manufacturers Roundtable and is also on the board for Junior Achievement of McLean County. Under Street Lamp, coming to Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Under the Street Lamp, the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons and beyond is coming to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts next year. The singing group will perform at 7 p.m. Friday, March 27th at 600 Northeast Street in downtown Bloomington. The show will feature doo-wop, Motown, and rock and roll hits from Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and other artists like the Beach Boys, the Drifters, Dion, Elvis, Roy Orbison, the Everly Brothers, the Supremes, Bobby Darin, and the Beatles. The group also features four original Jersey Boys cast members. The band has performed for audiences for over a decade and have had five PBS specials, gaining more than 300 million views. Tickets start at $37 plus tax and can be purchased via Ticketmaster or by calling the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts box office at 309-434-2777. Heartland is staging Enemy of People. The Heartland Theater Company will open its production of An Enemy of the People next month. A Pay What You Can preview is set for 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, November 6th at 1110 Douglas Street, 1 Normal Plaza, at the Community Activity Center in Normal. The show will run through November 22nd. The play is directed by Reese Lovell and features over 15 actors for a 2.5-hour performance. Performances will be November 6th through 8th, 14 through 16, and 21 through 22 at 7:30 p.m. There will also be a 2 p.m. matinee performance on November 22nd. Additionally, a discussion titled Politics and Morality, Can They Coexist? Will take place at approximately 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, November 16th, featuring panelist Cody Hendricks, Bloomington City Council member and a civics and economics teacher, Sarah Hall, assistant professor and academic advisor at Illinois State University in the School of Communications, and Lavelle, artistic director for Heartland. Tickets are $21 for general admission, $19 for seniors and military, and $10 for students. Reservations can be made at heartlandtheater.org, by emailing boxoffice@heartlandtheater.org, or you can call them by telephone at 309-452-8709. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. Please stay tuned.